Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, Femi, speaking of education, there is a showdown over student loans brewing in Congress, and President Obama is about to go head-to-head with the powerful private loan industry. The Congressional Budget Office says that replacing subsidized student loans with direct government lending could save billions, tens of billions, actually. But lenders like Sallie Mae and big commercial banks don't appear to be backing down, and you wouldn't back down either if you were about to get cut out of an estimated $94 billion business over the next decade. It's a lot of money. It's no wonder they're upset. For more on the fight over student loans and a look at the budget in general and in Congress in general, we're here with New York Times reporter David Herzenhorn, who reports on this in today's paper, and he's my colleague from the halls of the Senate. David, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. David, what exactly is the president proposing on student loans, and how are the banks reacting?
Well, the banks aren't happy, and keep in mind that that $94 billion, according to the CBO, is the savings, right? This is an $80 billion-plus industry a year. It's huge business. And if you remember when the budget fight got underway, the Congressional Budget Office score, their projections, were actually mostly tough for the Obama White House. It forced lawmakers in Congress to turn around and make a lot of cuts to what the president had been proposing, because it turned out the projections by the CBO were a lot more pessimistic than what the White House was saying. On this one issue, though, it went the other way. The White House originally said we can save $24 billion over 5 years, $47 billion over 10 years. CBO says, no, you can actually save more than that by cutting these banks out. They certainly want to press ahead and try and do that at a time of huge deficits. So what you end up with is a situation where the banks, who have been fighting this battle for years, I mean, this was first proposed by President Clinton. And in fact, George Bush, the first George Bush, was the one who created a direct lending program to say the government can do this, you know, more cost effectively. The idea here is to get students to pay for college, not to be paying fees and subsidies to banks. And now with the government providing the capital, taxpayers essentially pay these banks to lend out taxpayer money, only to then sell the loans back to the Treasury after the fact.
All right. Well, I want to ask you about the fight in Congress, because the commercial banking industry is on its knees, and they're not exactly the most popular industry in the country right now. Do they have any clout to fight the president over this? Where's their leverage on this?
You know, they do. If you look back in the congressional record, you know, as the budget fight was unfolding, you know, Alan Boyd, congressman from Florida, saying, you know, these jobs are important. Think about this. The budget committee in the House included language that said, you know, there should be some role for private industry here.
Let me guess, because they have commercial banks in their districts, right? They want to protect these jobs.
They have
parochial
loan centers. Sure, they have loan centers. Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska said this is one of the reasons he broke with the Democrats and voted against the president's budget. There's a huge student loan operation in his state of Nebraska. And so it becomes a jobs issue. It becomes, you know, an issue on many different fronts. And believe it or not, there are folks who will defend the role of these private banks, in part because they do provide competition. I mean, there's no way to argue against it, even if it's government-sponsored competition. Once these guys are out of the mix, you know, if something goes wrong with the government-run program, you know, there isn't anybody else.
All right. So we're talking about the budget, and there's work going on in the budget. This is congressional recess. There's no votes this week. But staff is talking. Can you bring us up to date on where the budget is at and what this is going to look like when Congress comes back?
Well, you know, the biggest question, of course, is this procedure known as reconciliation.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the question. That the House included language that would allow the Democrats to use the budget as a vehicle for healthcare overhaul, for you know, for education changes. And this is obviously a big fight. And it seems that the Senate Democrats are coming around to the realization that they don't have much choice, although they've been warned again and again by Republicans not to try this. They're seeing this as the you know, their last best chance if they can't cut, you know, deals on a number of fronts.
Well, this has sort of been compared to kind of a nuclear option, you know, using reducing the budget for these big policy shifts. I mean, healthcare is 17% of the economy. I've heard the Democrats saying, no, this is just a backup plan. We want to bring Republicans to the table. We want bipartisanship. This is our plan B. If they treat this like they treated the stimulus and they decide not to cooperate, we can hold this threat of ramming this through over their heads. Do we believe them that it's strictly a plan B?
Did we believe folks who said there was a new era of bipartisanship headed for Washington after this last election? It's democracy and it's messy. Certainly, it is a plan. It is a plan B. But whether there's much attention paid to plan A is the question.
I don't want to be too simplistic about this, real quickly, David. But is bipartisanship, I don't know if it was ever born, but is it officially dead in Congress if Democrats use this tactic? Republicans are already calling it their new nuclear option. Is it dead if they do this?
I think they do it if they can turn around and say bipartisanship is dead because the Republicans were never willing to give Obama's proposals a chance. Right? I mean, you brought up the stimulus package, which obviously was approved with zero Republican votes, not one. If the initial signs we're getting that the economy is turning around are, if there's anything to that, if things start to improve and Democrats can turn around and say, the Republicans have been trying to block us at every turn. They never gave this president a chance. Congressman Boehner, the Republican leader in the House, said he was going to vote against a lot of this stuff, even before the debate got underway. Then they may have grounds to push forward on reconciliation. It will be messy. It will be a brutal fight. There's no question about it.
All right. David Herzenhorn of the New York Times and my colleague from the Senate, thanks for joining us to talk about education fights and the budget coming up. We appreciate it.
Todd, it's great to be with you.